Down their thoughts in their head on paper and thus explain to the world what they did. So the coach was getting tired of this and arguing all the time about it. So he finally said, okay, we'll have a contest. Tomorrow, for 2 hours, I'm going to lock you in a room. I'm going to have you write down your thoughts. You get one page to do it. It's got to be good. So they got locked in 2 separate rooms, the goalie in one room and the striker in the next room. Halfway through, the power went out. It must have been a Williamsport. You know, those of us who are Williamsport, we learn power goes out about every 15 minutes. I'm joking, but it feels like it. Okay? So anyway, the striker was furious. The power went out. He thought maybe the goalkeeper had something to do with it. So at the end of the 2 hours, they come out. Goalkeeper had a full sheet of paper. All of his thoughts on paper. The striker had about 2 sentences because the power going out. He was furious. He accused the goalkeeper of cheating. To which the coach says that was impossible. And the striker says, what do you mean it's impossible? How is it that the goalkeeper was not cheating? And the coach laughed and he says, it's easy. Don't you know, the goalkeeper always saves. Saves his documents and saves goals. You know, at the early service, I should have had to explain a joke. It's either y'all are too early or it's not really good. I'm thinking it's too early. All right, so the reason why I bring this to you about saving is because Solomon, in his wisdom journal, we know as the book of Proverbs, highlights the fact that there is something we can do to add to our salvation, something we can enhance our life, and that is to keep the commandments. Something we can do in terms of reducing stress and anxiety, increasing our lifespan, and that's to keep the commandments. Let me read that verse to you again. I'm going to do it in the New American Standard. Hank read it to you, New Revised Standard. I'm going to do it in the New American Standard with my translation added in, just like this. This is what Solomon said. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep the commandments, for they will indeed lengthen your days and add years to your life, and peace will be added to you. Did you hear what he was telling us? That when we keep the commandments, we extend our life in terms of chronology, and we extend who we are in terms of peace, or the depth of our life. That when we follow the commands, that we add purpose and joy, we reduce stress, we add meaning. This is what Solomon was trying to tell us. And then he told us how we get this answer. How do we add to our life? He simply said, keep the commandments. Now, I have to admit, that when you read the Proverbs, it appears one statement, and you're like, okay, I get it. But when you look at the whole gamut of them, the ones Solomon wrote and the ones that other writers put forth, it really is to deal with the messiness of life. How do you deal with those things in your life that are a pain in the neck, you know, that are hard? How do you live out the Ten Commandments? That's what Proverbs are meant to tell you. That the Proverbs literally flesh out what the Ten Commandments are. And then they place them in everyday situations. For us to understand that when we follow the Ten Commandments, it will look like this. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us. Now, we last year, during the season of Lent, I asked you to read the Proverbs, the Psalms, the Proverbs. This year, we're not doing our directed spiritual scripture reading until Lent arrives. So last year we read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Gospels. This year, when Lent comes, we're going to give you something else to focus on. And part of what is interesting about the commandments is that sometimes they feel like they're really complex. I mean, people make a lot about them. It's like this, and I'll tell you, Jack, since the first one was kind of like, ooh, this one's better. I can't guarantee it, but anyway. And it's about a writer. A young man wanted to be a great writer, fantastic writer. So he went to a job fair, and he went to a big company. And he says, I want to be a writer. And the person in charge of the desk said, what do you mean by great writer? So this young man said, I want to write stuff that the whole world will read. Stuff that people will react to on a truly emotional level. I want to write stuff that will make them scream and cry and howl in pain and anger. So they gave him a job. He now works for Microsoft, and he's the one that writes your error messages. You know, when you get the F301Q, what does that mean? And you're screaming, why doesn't this computer work? All right, that's this guy. So it seems complex, right? And in reality, commandments are not complex. They're really quite simple. They start with a singular focus. And the focus is the number one commandment. Who's what first in your life? And when we say that God is first in our life, that God is primary in our life, that God is number one, that there are no other gods before us, all the other commands flow off of that. Now, it's interesting. Solomon said, when you make that statement, when you say God's number one and all the commands flow off of that, there's healing properties to that. That's what Solomon was telling us. That when you say God's number one and I follow the other nine, that extends my life. That gives me less stress, gives me more peace. Is it possible? It's that simple? I was reading the paper last week, and I always read the paper. It gives me great joy. You know, I love paper. I love to have a book in my hand. I like my sermons. I jot down on paper, right? I love paper. So I'm reading the Herald Mail, and on the front page was an article about a man who was scamming people, he and his son. And they had pictures of this guy and his son. And I thought, this is a copy error. This guy, no way, no how, has a son that looks like that. So I looked, and the son was only 18 years old. And so he and his dad, that's what the article is saying, were running different scams, you know, like cheating you out of this and getting you to give them money for this. And I looked at the guy, and the guy looked like he was 100 years older than I am. All right? Now I look old, okay? But this guy looked really old, and I thought, surely it's going to be his grandfather, great-grandfather, something like that. I looked. The man was 44 years old. Now, I was shocked at this, but then I remembered, as I was preparing for this sermon, great blessing, same time, right? Is that sin ages you. And that when you don't follow God's boundaries, it makes you older looking than what you really are. That's what Solomon highlighted when he said, I'll give you a way that you have less stress, less aging, less pain. He said, when you follow the commandments, God will extend your life and add peace to your life. That's what he's trying to tell us. Now, the Presbyterian Women's Bible Study, we're looking at the commandments. And Tuesday, we have another Presbyterian Women's Bible Study. And we're going to study, you know, I'm not going to tell you which one. You have to come and find out. I'll give you a hint. It's one of ten. Okay? Not number one of ten, but one of those ten. So if you come 10 o'clock Tuesday or 7 o'clock Tuesday, then I'll tell you what they are. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert right now. Now, interestingly enough, that you ask, why does this make a difference to follow the commands? It seems, like, simple. And that's what much of the Bible is. It actually is not complex. And what they are trying to show us here is that whenever we have a spiritual ruling in our heart, we don't respond to the negativity around us emotionally. The problem of many people in this world is they allow the desire, the sin, or their emotions to respond to the stimuli out there. And so if something bad happens, instead of responding spiritually, people who don't have the commands in their heart respond emotionally, which then, sin number one creates sin number two, which creates, and you get the idea, which means then we humans and other humans suffer. And so, how does this look like? Your neighbor buys a new car. It's really fancy. It's got wire-rimmed hubcaps. And it's red. It has two seats. And you're sitting there going, I gotta have it. By the way, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, if you place that in your heart, the Ten Commandments, you write it on the tablet of your heart, then you're not so likely to give in to that temptation. Or how about you're in school, and you really want a good grade, but yeah, you kind of, like, didn't study. And that person beside you is really smart. You know they studied. And it's really tempting to try and, whoop, I dropped my pencil. Look onto their paper. So if it's written on your heart, you're less likely to give into that temptation. Or, say someone at work shows you some attention. And you're like, I have a spouse, but here's another option. So if they're written on your heart, you're less likely to respond emotionally to that. You're going to respond spiritually. That's what Solomon was trying to tell us. When we write on the tablet of our heart, what a beautiful way of describing this. When we write on our heart, impermanent marker, that these are the boundaries God wants us to stay within. That these are the places where God wants us to keep our eyes trained on. Here's the areas we stay out of because it hurts us. It hurts us physically and spiritually and emotionally. When we stay away from them, it's because what we place on our heart, that's what's ruling us. Now, the power of this is, how do we do it? Now, I've been in a lot of different areas where you learn how to do this. I almost became a mathematician. I was that close. Calculus 101 in college ruined my dream. The only math class ever I got less than an A, no C. And then God's like, I didn't want you to be a mathematician anyway. But you know how math works? It's all repetition. You know, I was at the age in which when you were younger, you memorized the multiplication tables. And so you ask what such and such times such and such, nine times nine, I know what it is. I don't need a calculator. In fact, in my day, we didn't have calculators. Well, we had them. We weren't allowed to use them. We didn't have phones either that you could go and look up. But we didn't have phones. Okay, well, we did, but it was attached to the wall. So you get the idea that there's repetition binds it on your heart as to what's going on. If you've ever done any sports or ever done any music, guess what? You don't learn immediately. You have to go through it again and again and again. That's called muscle memory. So that when you see the note, you can play it. And you can play it in a smooth fashion. Or when you have a ball hit at you in softball, you can field it. That's muscle memory. And the power of this is for repetition. And when we do repetition again and again and again, we don't need to respond emotionally. We're not going to respond with what we put on the tablet of our heart. We're going to respond spiritually. Now, how do we write them on our heart? I borrowed something from a seven-year-old. She was a kindergartner. And that, all the way in 2007, came up with a way of using her fingers to remember the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to share them with you. In my newsletter column for February, I'm going to do that again, just in case you missed it now. So how do you do using your 10 digits, right? First digit, commandment number one. There's no other gods. He's primary in your life. He's number one. Two, commandment number two. By the way, you can't have two gods, right? You can only have one God. And so if you put a second one up there, it's commandment number two, which means no other gods, no idols, nothing else to worship, only the one God. Commandment number three, notice what letter this makes. It makes a W. Use your words when you describe God and use them wisely. And so you don't use the Lord's name in vain. Commandment number four, notice where the thumb is. The thumb's taking a rest. And what's commandment number four? Keep the Sabbath day. Rest in the course of a week. Commandment number five. All right? Now, it looks like we're making a pledge here. So I'm going to put this hand up for the pledge. It's like we're making a pledge here. You pledge to honor your parents. Commandment number six. Looks like you're shooting at the other hand. You know what commandment number six is? Thou shalt not kill. Commandment number seven, as a memory piece, when you put it this way, it looks like two people going to the altar. That is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Keep the marriage pure. Commandment number eight. This is how she did it. She changed it. Commandment number eight looks like this. Like you're behind bars. Because that's what happens when you steal. You go to jail. Commandment number nine. This is the one I always had trouble with. I have to look this one up. How she did it. Commandment number nine. Oh, commandment number nine goes like this. And notice this one is telling secrets to deeds. that those are not allowed to hear. This is bearing false witness. It means you're telling lies. And commandment number 10, all 10 digits, is I want what I want. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not want what someone else has. And so what a powerful way to write them on the tablet of our heart. Every time you do something, you have the ability to learn what these 10 commandments are. And I'll tell you what, there's power in this. What this young girl, at such a young age, showed us. What each commandment means. Writing down on who you are. Now, Solomon said that what the commandments communicate to us is truth and kindness. In our New Revised Standard, it had two different words, like loyalty and another word. But the core word of that is truth, which is right path. And then how do you live with others on the right path? Because it's easy to know the truth and use it as a cruel weapon. And it's easy to not know the truth and treat everyone as if all behaviors appropriate and healthy. So the commandments teach us that we're on the path of truth and the path of kindness, that we can do this together. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, that you have writers like Solomon. Explain to us what you would want us to know so that we live long, so that we can demonstrate your love, so we can make a greater impact in this world. We thank you, Lord God, when we follow. We follow these 10 words of yours, these commands, that peace is the result, because we know we're following you. There's no doubt. There's no doubt because we're on the path, we're doing what's right. Thank you, wonderful God, for the great gift of asking us to write them on the tablet of our heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.